Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. Now, last week, we preached part two of the panoramic view of the vision. This is part three. Ladies and gentlemen, vision is vital to completing your destiny in Christ. You have to understand that everything that you cannot do, God will do. All that you can do, God will never do. He doesn't work in the realm of possibility. He works in the realm of impossibility. You work in the possibility realm. Let's go to part three of the panoramic view of this vision. See, you find your gift, and every one of you've got one. And then you don't know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. Get a pencil and paper, take some notes, and watch the power of God just be expressed in your life.
I want to start reading with Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. That means your staff shouldn't be fighting, and you shouldn't be fighting. And watch this. And he said, it's not the whole land before us. Separate yourself. I pray that if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. You know, wherever you go, no, where you don't go, I'll go. And that's it. Lot was a man. He saw the wealth of the Jordan of the plains. So he chose that. And this scripture, a lot of people miss this. And Lot chose, verse 11, him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated himself, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Next time you hear about Lot, he's in Sodom. You pitch your tent towards something that's not of God, pretty soon you'll be right in it, completely. You see what I'm saying? You have the same ability. If someone goes to the left, you go to the right. If someone goes to the right, you go to the left. Don't pitch your tent toward nothing. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him. See, some of you, for vision not coming to pass, you need some separation with some people that are around you. Yeah. They say one thing and doing another. Right. After. And then he said, lift up now thine eyes and look for the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Now that is you, because you're the seed of Abraham. So you got to look north, you got to look south, you got to look east, you got to look west. In other words, everybody's vision. One camp of God, one, with many different colored tents. See what I'm saying? One Israel with 12 tribes. Now, I want to finish this. And I want you to write this down. I gave you a little point. I said, vision is your safeguard in difficult times. Vision is your safeguard in difficult times. Why? It will produce a groove that becomes the channel of God's flood tide. In other words, God's going to put that tsunami blessing coming to you, but he's got to run it through something to get to you. Vision is your safeguard in difficult times. It will produce a groove that becomes the channel of God's flood tide. And what I meant by that is when I started preaching, they said, you are not called to preach. And I said, well, okay, but I didn't listen to what they said, but they can say what they want, you know. They said, well, you're just not going to have any meeting because you're too different. You're not homiletical or hermeneutical. The first word of faith people said, you're very shallow. I said, how come everybody coming to see me and they don't come to see you? Oh, they didn't like that at all. Oh, you one of them Copenhagens. Anybody remember that? Copenhagen. And what they thought that they were trying to depress me, they thought they were giving me a shot. I said, you put me in the same thing as Copeland and Hagen? Thank you. I mean, I took that as a great honor. They said, man, we are criticizing you. You ain't got enough sense to know it. And I thought to myself, these guys are complete idiots. It was difficult times. They stole my offerings. I ran out of gas driving 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And yet in 47 years, I never had a financial deficit. I was wealthy before. I gave it all away because I thought you had to be poor. I was willing to be poor because we got saved. I said, I was raised poor. I got no problem with that, you know. Mom and dad did the best they could. Then Kathy said, okay, because money was killing us, boy. especially me. And I mean, when you can buy what you want, it's amazing how your minds get twisted sometimes because money controls you, see. And I forget the first time somebody tried to give me an offering. I said, you can't pay me to preach. I said, and he said, we're not trying to pay you to preach. We want to give you a love offering. I said, a what? A love offering. What's that? They said, this. I didn't know any of that. I knew two prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And our Father who art in heaven, be thy name. I only knew two preachers, the Pope and Billy Graham. I'm serious. I mean, just didn't know it. And I didn't have to unlearn some things. But when I stepped out by faith, difficult times would come. I never paid attention to it. They would bring me to a meeting, and I didn't have any money because I gave all the money away. Serious. When I say all my money, I'm talking going to Jody's piggy bank, opening up and taking the coins out the bank, out of her piggy bank. I'm serious. And it's amazing how they didn't want me, but they wanted that money. That's exactly the truth. And the devil said, what are you going to think about that? I said, well, I'll just fast. Thank you. You gave me an opportunity to fast. And the devil would say, feed the boy. Man, everything we're trying to get this boy to do, he won't accept it. I didn't realize how much power I had. But I was just absorbed with the word of God. Everybody wanted me to play and sing. I play 11 hymns. I said, no. I said, thank you. I appreciate that you want to hear me. I want to know this. This is my constitution. I got to find out what is mine. It was a difficult time, but I'd come home. Kathy said, man, you lost some weight. I said, yeah, I was fasting. It was a forced fast. But before I'd get home, every time, not some of the time, every time a man, and I'd be many of my angels, at that time I didn't even really think about that, would come and they fill my car, my gasoline. And I've had people come up to me and say, I don't know why I'm doing this. Here's $400, young man. Here's $700. Of course, way back then, 1978, 76, that was big money. And I said, look at this. God just took care of me. Yeah. You know, and I just did with God. I needed a van. I'll never forget that. And Jules, pull your hand up, Jules. This 1982. I said, I was praying for a van, you know. Oh, God. Because I was starting to get some cassette tape. I bought 100 cassette tapes. And I thought it would last months. And I was at in Donaldsonville, Louisiana. Don and Eileen Williams. And he had a tape. And I sold 100 tapes in about 2 minutes. I thought, my God, what's happening? And Don said, they want to hear you. He said, won't you use some of my blanks? So I immediately found a company so I could start buying stuff like that. It's because I just never thought anybody would buy anything. They didn't want to hear what I got to say. See, and a lot of them thought, well, you know, he don't have the vision. But they didn't know what I was looking at. See, they were looking at this. I'm looking at this. I don't preach with my hands out. I preach with my hands up. Because from here is where my supply is. Do you see what I'm saying? And so, you see, but it was a difficult time. But you'd have never known it. I just kept going. Yeah. And I came to know, I went and preached for a guy named Frank Bailey. Wanted me to come. This was the church of the picketers. The Christian people that went to that church were picketing the church. You remember that, Randy? The outside would go, we are the Assemblies of God. We own this. And yet Frank was Assembly of God. He wasn't trying to be anti-Assembly of God, but they were mad because the district, not say deeded the program, but said, go ahead and take that because he needed a church. Oh, they were just, so I had to walk through the picketers. I just smiled at them. And as I walked by, I said, the Lord going to blow all your signs down. I did a revival on Transcontinental. On Transcontinental, and it started raining so bad. And I called people. Now, listen, we had a foot of water inside the tent. I'm praying for people, and God knocking them out, and they're floating out the tent. All I thought, man, now get them before they get on the boulevard. Because, you know, when we have flash floods, Metairie and Kenton, it will flood quick. You got to watch it. You know, we have to pump it out. Every drop of rain that falls in New Orleans has to be pumped out. It's below sea level. So I start praying for that van. Jules was a lawyer then. I think he was an atheist at one same thing, you know. I said, God, I didn't know. And it went, yeah, he was an atheist. Jules got saved out in the front yard. God really works well with atheists. Anyway, to make a long story short, I said, oh, God, I need a van. I mean, I didn't know. And the Lord spoke to Jules and Deputy, buy me a van. 1982 Dodge van, Lord Jesus. So we went riding, and I remember, I think he said, I got to stop at this Dodge place or this Chrysler place to get a part or something like that. So I said, okay, and I was just with him, you know, and all like that. Walked in, and I said, and I saw this van. I went, oh, there's my vision. And Jules said, you like that? I said, boy, yeah, that's what I'm believing for. He said, well, you don't need to believe it anymore. Here's the keys. I wanted to kiss him. But I don't kiss men, but now Jules will kiss me on the cheek. I go, because he got wet lips. I don't know. You know. It blew me away. I drove that van. Then I hired Fritz Brown. Fritz, are you in here? Where's Fritz? Where's Fritz? That's Fritz way back there? Yeah. So I hired Fritz. Oh, boss. I can drive all night. And we would drive all night. And we talk about the Word of God. But I was tired one time. I said, Fritz, I'm going to go lay down in the back of this van. Oh, I got it, boss. I wasn't on that bottom of that van. 15 seconds, the Lord said, wake up, Fritz is going to kill you. I woke up and here's Fritz. I said, Fritz, pull the van over, baby. You go lay down in the back. I promise you, you're going to get home. Boy, did we do some traveling, huh, Fritz? And the Fritz stories, y'all all know about the Fritz stories. Fritz wanted to move in the Holy Ghost. He never saw anybody move in the Holy Ghost like me. He said, I want to move like that. I said, man, I'm telling you, Fritz, it can happen. I said, now, Fritz, never let my battery go down. Make sure I got a new battery in that pack. Okay, boss, I got it, boss. So the assistant pastor there at West Monroe, I can't remember his name, he said, would you mind if Brother Fritz picked me up and bring me to the church? I said, no. So I said, Fritz, pick him up. So Fritz has got my battery pack in his pocket. And all of a sudden, his legs start burning. He thinks it's God. He said, brother, I believe the Lord's telling you got a burning in your leg. And he says, what? All of a sudden, Fritz hit the brake. Arr! Because a penny was in his pocket and he was touching that battery and burning it. And then when I talked to the man, he said, he's a little strange, isn't he? I said, yeah, but he's full of the Holy Ghost. We had such wonderful times. They were difficult times. They were not easy. Vision is your safeguard in difficult times because I knew it was coming to pass. It produced a groove and God began to bless us. And so someone gave me a check. I never looked at it. But the Lord said, pull the car over and look at the check. And it was the first time I ever had $500 give to my ministry. I like the past out. So I went and I put the check in front of the headlight, CJ, and a cop stopped. He said, what are you doing? I said, look at this check. He said, what? I said, man, this is $500. I'm a preacher. I got $500. He said, that's great. Get your butt out the road. I was like, he said, somebody going to kill you, man. I said, okay. And I thought, God, man, the tears came to my eyes. I said, Lord, you're taking care of me. He said, I always will. Me and Benny Hinn, I'm going to tell you a few stories and I'm going to finish it. 1979, Parkersburg, West Virginia, Jesus Festival. I was the night speaker. Benny Hinn was the day speaker. That's when he had long hair. That's before he flipped this way and flipped it that way. You know what I'm talking about. And I like the way he talked. What's over that Steve? What's over that Steve? And I thought, what's over that Steve? I preach with all of them. It's just a blessing of God. And Kathy said, you are not going to leave this house anymore without some money. You're not eating. So she said, I'm going to make sure you got $50. So I went to the Parkersburg, West Virginia, preaching on the side of a mountain. And a hamburger, you could buy a hamburger you for $3. That's the whole thing, you know. You know, fries, the whole ball of wax. And I see a man in the restaurant, and the Lord said, give him all your money after you pay for the hamburger. I said, Lord, I'm going to be on the side of this mountain for 3 days. I ain't got nothing. Just do what I tell you. And I did. So I walked up. I said, sir, he's crying. I said, don't quit. Anybody can quit. I said, here's $46.90-something or whatever. He couldn't believe it. It changed his life. He wrote me later, it just changed his life. So I said, well, another force fast. Got to the side of the mountain. And we had our little stage, each of us, because people wanted to come talk to the speakers. You didn't have a speaker room. You were just on the side of the mountain. And the only thing they served out there was Sloppy Joes. Y'all know what Sloppy Joes are? And man, it's hot. And I'm a man, I love ice. I love England, but I hate going there because it's called the land of hot drinks. Can I have some ice? 2 cubes. I said, well, y'all got a shortage on ice? 2 cubes? Oh, yeah, but you don't get as much Coke. I don't care. I'd rather have the ice. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and I mean, everybody, them sloppy joes. Are you hungry, Brother Jack? I was hungry. I said, no, everything's fine. I said, I just felt led the Lord to fast. Because then I gave the man all my money. So I'd go up and preach, and when I'd come back, and nobody ever saw this, on my little desk, it was a desk, there would be, I mean, just meat, what do you call it, meatloaf, and you know, mashed potato. I mean, and everybody got sloppy joe. They go, and this wonderful meal with a Coke with crushed ice. And man, I remember, Benny probably don't even remember, this is so many years ago. They said, where'd you get that? I said, I don't know. I said, did anybody see this? No. And someone said, can we have some? No. Eat your slice. And I drank that, boy. Oh, God. You know, because in those days, we didn't do no teaching. We did a lot of yelling. It's just preaching, boy. Preach spit flying, son. I mean, we anointed your eyes with spit. It spit everywhere. And people don't care, boy. They just spit on me, son. They just wanted it. You know what I'm saying? That happened for 3 solid days. I had some of the finest food. Never knew what it was. I said, an angel must have brought that food. 8 years later, I'm doing a little better then, you know. I go preach in a barn up in Virginia. And here comes a lady and her husband with a little cane. And they say, how you doing, Brother Jesse? I said, I'm doing fine, ma'am. How you doing? She said, you like my food? I said, what did you say? She said, you like my food. Now, I never would go to the back of my book and tape table. And I didn't have much, you know, just a few cassettes and whatever, just all the beginning. You like my food? I said, you like your food? I said, you? Were you? She said, yeah, I saw you. I had a little camper, my husband, to that Jesus Festival in 1979. And the Lord said, feed that man and don't let him know. I said, ma'am, you're the best cook I've ever eaten in my life. I said, what? Fast food over here. I said, where'd you get that crushed ice? She said, we have a crushed ice thing. And I think, I said, did you know it made preachers mad? I didn't let them take one iota of that crushed ice. It was so hot out there. God taking care of me. It was a difficult time, but the Lord was there. See? And God began to bless us and flow through. I said, well, you want anything? I'll give you anything that's on the book and take that. She said, would you like me to cook you something before you leave here? Yes. I said, do you have any crushed ice? She said, well, I'll get you a drink. It was the most wonderful. They were in the 80s. She looked out of a window and saw a boy and fed me, touching my heart. That was God doing that for me. Because I never thought of it as difficult. I just thought, well, I guess it's just part of this. You just go on. Write this down. Vision will summon in you a sanctified will and produce the power of self-direction. Vision will summon in you a sanctified will and produce the power of self-direction. People ask me all the time, I have over 9,000 requests I cannot get to. And I don't mean that privately. I mean, I could preach every day, Chad, in a different place 7 days a week. And I don't mean that privately, just the way it is. Now, watch this. And people say, well, when you get that kind of a scale, how do you know which one to go? God. And he may send me to a big place, and he may send me to a small place. It don't make no difference to me, because I don't do nothing determined on how much money you're going to pay me. You see what I'm saying? I don't do that. And I don't charge churches. And it don't mean nothing, because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. See, so I understand self-direction. My vision helps me with self-direction of where to go. When I think of Canada, I think of Susan Kiteley. Do this, Susan. And I got some of the biggest churches in Canada ask me, I'm talking thousands of people, but I go to Susan Kiteley's church. And there's another church there in Hamilton. I can't pronounce that pastor's name. He's from some other country than America. He's got to speak in tongues. So I just go, Koma Shahimada. And he answers, so I guess it's good. Why? Well, because we have a covenant. I understand covenant. And if you go out, if you came, notice today when you're out there, there's a scripture out there, Psalms 89, 34, on the top of this building. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. So I said, I'm going to keep my word like God keeps his word. What makes me keep my word? My vision. What's made me keep my word to my partners? My vision. Because they wouldn't be given if they didn't believe in the vision. Vision will summon in you a sanctified will and produce the power of self-direction. So I'll know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. Why? Christ in me, the hope of glory. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth, not some truth or a truth, all truth. And if Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. And if he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. And if he's the life, the devil can't kill you. See what I'm saying? It doesn't make any difference what he does. I don't deny what he does. I just deny its right to affect me. Vision will give you courage. It gives you courage to stand up for what's right.
Your vision should trample all moods and all feelings, because the great thoughts of God are impossibilities. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We got things to do. You better know how to run.
God is going to say, go. When it's moving, I see the vision get bigger and better, and you will complete it.
Listen, we're expecting an even greater move of the Spirit of this year's Visionary Conference than ever before. It's this week, starting Thursday, July the 11th at 7 p.m. and Friday, July the 12th at 10 a.m. in the morning and 7 p.m. that night. Watch this. Registration and admission are absolutely free. Will always be free. If you can't be here in person, and you should be, but if you can't, you can still be a part of it because we'll be streaming it live on all our social media platforms. All you have to do is go to our website, jdm.org, to find out how to do that. And I mean, it will bless you. And this book is probably it is the most popular book I ever wrote in my life. It's called Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. This happened to me in 1988. I want you to get this if you don't have it. I can't tell you how many times we've had this book reprinted. Jesus, we wore out the printers, buddy. I'm telling you, hundreds of thousands, I mean, all over the world. It's about my supernatural trip to heaven, along with some of the miraculous encounters I've experienced in my life. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org and get your copy today. Here's something. How do I know it's true? Read it. It will shake you to your shoes. I'm telling you, it will shake you because it's living reality, and it is a blessing. Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. Partners, thank you. I hope I say thank you enough. Me and Kathy, we pray for you every day, and I mean that sincerely, and we thank you for your wonderful partner. Not only of you, great, faithful financial partnership, but that you care, that you trust us, that you pray for us. I can't thank you enough for that. I need way more partners. Believe in God. Man, I mean, we got a lot of partners in this ministry, but the more partners I have, the more work I can do, the more television time I can purchase, the more places I can go. And I don't mind. I don't mind doing the work. So I don't mind at all. And people say, man, you never slow down. Well, I just don't have time. God has been so good and gracious, and I thank you. You know, I'm going to be 75 years old. In fact, by the time you see this, I will be 75 years. I'm going to make 75 July the 9th, I think. I don't know what the date is, but I mean my date. But when you're viewing this, it will bless you. And I'm on the road for Jesus Christ. I hope you've enjoyed these shows from our last year's Visionary Conference, the panoramic view of the vision. Now, to view all three messages in full, you can find them at jdm.org and on the JDM app. It's always a blessing and an honor to minister to you every way we can. And I mean that sincerely. Be sure to come back next week for another wonderful program. It's from my Merry Heart collection. A Merry Heart doeth good like a medicine. And I tell you what, it's funny, it's hilarious, but it's got revelation in it. Don't miss this Visionary Conference. It will minister to you. Thank you, partners, for helping me reach somebody today, getting somebody saved. Till next time, I'll see you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.
You see, heaven is wonderful. It's a big place. Then I heard this, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. The Lord walked out and his children ran up to him and began to sing praises to him. He said, go tell my people I'm coming. I brought you here to tell you, go tell them I'm coming.
Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. The testimony that has changed lives all around the world. Order yours today at jdm.org.
We have a great partner offer this month. It's titled, Is There Anything Too Hard for the Lord? This is one of our boardroom chats that will build your faith in God's goodness and power. Christians often limit God with doubt and unbelief. Why would you do that? It's time to exercise your faith completely and believe God for the impossible. Nothing's too hard for Him. Get your copy at jdm.org. People today are searching for meaning, purpose, peace, and authenticity. In a world bombarded by voices and information, Jesse the Planner's ministry is determined to pierce through the noise and proclaim what every heart is yearning for, the good news of Jesus. I'm gonna ask you to meet my friend. That's the passion that drives us to trust God and continue to break through into new realms of the impossible. Only then are we able to reach an entire planet, one soul at a time, and help them experience the life-changing love of God for themselves.
You made it! You made it! You made it! Wasn't that easy? That wasn't hard, was it?
Jesus, today, would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God with you? Are you ready to believe the unbelievable, receive the impossible, because it's doable? In my new book, Believe, you will be challenged to believe the uncompromised word of God so that you can receive all that God has for your life.
Yes, it's time to unlock your faith in God's promises and believe the truth of the gospel. For your donation of $5 or more, you can receive your physical copy or digital download of Believe at jdm.org.
It's time to make your faith work.
Yes.
Order your copy today and remember to believe.
You looking at me? I couldn't tell. I could not tell. This guy's eyes was this way. I couldn't tell. So Christine, her sister, said, I think he's looking at you. I said, his eyes are on you. She said, only one of them is. The other one's on you.